You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Monday, the New Zealand courts observed the first conviction in New Zealand for both human trafficking and slavery. A Samoan national and New Zealand resident living in Hastings has been found guilty of 10 counts of slavery and 11 counts of trafficking at the High Court in Napier. Samoan nationals, the youngest of whom was 12, were promised paid horticultural work or schooling in New Zealand. But upon arrival, the guilty party required them to work long hours, often 7 days a week, without pay, with physical assault allegedly used to keep them in line. This was a systemic pattern of behaviour, with the offending spanning from 1994 to April 2019, discovered after 2 years of investigating from Immigration New Zealand and the New Zealand Police. In the modern age, slaves and trafficked peoples are no longer labelled and owned in the traditional sense, but rather hidden in the corners of society. Fraudulent work schemes are increasingly being recognised as slavery in the legal sense, but with the testimony of the victims being essential to getting the case over the line, cases are held back. The bureaucratic process of giving a testimony is not only traumatising, it could result in the victim getting deported. Although the trafficking of migrant workers has been happening in covert ways since the 80s, with the introduction of foreign charter vessels, in 2016 New Zealand had its first ever guilty verdict for human trafficking. Fijian nationals paid thousands of dollars for a live and work scheme, but were in fact paid little to nothing, put on visitors' visas, and had to reside in shared rooms with no mattresses or blankets. With the shame of having borrowed money from their families and communities, and the fear of deportation, it becomes impossible to speak out. In his 2016 research paper on migrant exploitation, academic Glenn Simmons estimates that 10,000 people in New Zealand are trapped in modern-day slavery. Migrant workers in New Zealand are already vulnerable. As Anu Kaloti told 95BFM, even when the individual has worked for years to satisfy the requirements to obtain a visa, frequent law changes push legal status further out of reach. Therefore, their situation gets even more desperate, and suddenly the vague promise of horticultural work in New Zealand and putting a respected chief from one's own country in charge of sorting out their passport seems like a preferable option. Once they arrive, however, they are put up in substandard housing, made to work long hours with no pay, and are unable to approach the authorities without risking deportation. Crown Prosecutor for Monday's case, Clayton Walker, explains the situation.
If they breached any of his rules, or if they did not carry out their work or their chores to the standards required by Mr. Matamata, then they would be punished.
Reaching out to family or friends is also an uncomfortable proposition, due to the significant amount of stigma in admitting failure. But the victims still have freedom of movement. They live their day-to-day lives amongst us. During his trial, the accused pointed to this as evidence in his defence.
There's no rule. That's their own way of talking. Rules. I got no rules in my house. Everybody's safe. Everybody's do what they want to do. Go out, go to the shop, anywhere. I don't stop them.
However, Justice Cull set down a precedent in the High Court on Monday when summing up the case. Despite the supposed freedom the victims had, the power dynamics were skewed, so the fraudulent employer had ultimate control and speaking out was never an option. She explained to the jurors that the slavery charges rested on whether the accused used each of the complainants as his property. In her words, ownership implies a background relationship of control. So the link between ownership and slavery is control. When slavery is concerned, this control is tantamount. This prosecution may encourage other victims to come forward, to call for justice against those who have perpetrated gross exploitation and abuse against them. Of course, it may not be possible to prosecute ourselves out of this problem, but hopefully this prosecution gets the ball rolling on victim support, and greater knowledge of trafficking and slavery issues will arise in government agencies. As work dries up under COVID-19, desperation among workers is growing. In such circumstances, working conditions can slowly deteriorate at the hands of unethical employers. Now more than ever, it is important to condemn rigged schemes for what they are.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.